Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Good start. I can't get the mic out of the thing. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Chatting with Jawley. Live-ish. We've got a lovely little show for you today. It's very sunny in Scotland, so everyone's out there with a little meat pie in the sun, having the time of their life. A little can of, I don't know what they're drinking, coconut water. Because it's the fringe, that's probably what they're drinking. But we'll get onto the stage, my beautiful guests. First, let me have a little round of applause for the gorgeous, well, big round of applause, Reese Nicholson. Beautiful. You have a little seat there, babe. And then the gorgeous Shelf. Woo! Oh. Well done, Milky. That was very life-affirming.
Yeah.
Gorgeous. Oh, you go for the no sock.
Now, look, this has been... I'm wearing a socket.
Oh, you got a socket.
And the amount, but it does look like I have just like some sort of skin problem.
Yeah, that looks like just one giant layer of flaky skin.
Yeah.
Well, no offence, Reese.
You know what? It's that point of the fringe. Aren't we all a big flaky piece of skin at this point? People get very weird about the no socks or the sockets. And I don't know how else to... Because I feel like if I was to wear like a white sock or something, it would be very Michael Jackson-y. And I feel like that's fallen out of fashion, Diane.
Yeah, it is. It has. I mean, you can't see the sock. That's when I don't like it, when the little sock just pops up,
yeah, you know, winking.
Yeah, like a tissue on a shoe.
Yeah.
Anyway. Now, Shelf, my beautiful babes, I only saw you recently. We was doing a little festival together, weren't we?
Yeah, it was lovely. Lovely time.
Nice.
Yeah, really
nice. Do you know what happened, though? At one point, I went up to us both, because you were sat there, and I said, oh... You don't have to stick around and watch me. You went, we're waiting for our amp. No, okay.
Well, you actually didn't want to be here.
That's quite rude, yeah. We're just staying here out of duress. We're waiting for our amp. But it was a nice little festival, wasn't it?
It was lovely, yeah. It was so really nice. Good vibes.
What rain? The festival?
Deershed.
Deershed.
Yeah. Right. I'm not from this place, so I've asked and then I got no backup questions.
Where was that? That was in...
Thirsk.
Thirsk.
All of these are made up words. Every single one of them.
Yeah, well, that is London. You know when you're on a train, they're like, Cockleton.
Yeah.
The next station is Bimblecock.
Yeah.
That's where Milky's from.
Cock Foster's is always my favourite.
Is it? Have you
and
been?
Mud Shoot and Cock Foster's.
Mud Shoot.
Yeah. And I'm from Australia where we made up everything. Anyway,
have a nice drink of Mud Shoot down in Cock Foster's. Yeah. It's the place to be. It's beautiful. Now, this is... your first festival, isn't it, guys?
It's our first proper festival, yeah. It's our first doing it in a paid venue. We've done weird little things in free fringe venues. Done the LOL word before at free fringe venues. So it's the first time we've had like someone on the door and tech and lights.
That's been a huge change.
Is that a big, you know, big leap?
Is it nerve-wracking? And a lot of money.
And where's that coming from? Is it... Are you on a borrow?
I think we both like kept full-time day jobs for longer than was reasonable while we were doing comedy, and then we saved all the money we got from comedy and put it in a platonic joint account that we share.
Oh, which one? Is it...
NatWest.
Oh.
But actually, we're thinking of switching.
I can't access it. Well, so Ruby's got our joint money and I just have to trust her.
Oh, I wouldn't. This is Simon and Garfunkel very quickly.
Well, me and Milky have got a Monzo and we both got a little card. And if he says, Diane, I need some Cheerios, I say, go for your life.
And you can both access it. Maybe we should do that.
Monzo's the way forward. But this is obviously you're a legendary fringe visitor.
Really?
Oh, you are. I remember actually our first Fringe. That was what?
Oh, yeah.
What was that, 8-9 years ago?
Yeah.
And I saw your face. I thought, oh, he's interesting.
I used to see, you would sing, we would, our venues were right next to each other, and you would sing in, like, the pasture. Is that right? Have I made this up?
This sounds like so long in the past. Singing in the pasture when this was all
fields. I've sung in a pasture or two in my past. Don't get me wrong. But I can't think of what pasture that was.
Or, like, oh, maybe, I don't know. But I used to walk, because, you know, we dress up for shows.
Oh, yeah.
And I think we would have this unspoken, we'd walk past each other and just have this unspoken, like, I don't know who you are,
but
you don't
got
know
it.
Who I am, but yeah, let's yeah. work together.
And we got the same hair, kind yes. of the same hair.
Yeah, yeah. I think people would probably walk around thinking we were brother and sister all the time.
Well, I think you'd probably be more like my son.
Oh, thank sure. you. Wasn't fishing like what I caught?
No, well, of course you were. But I handed you it anyway, a nice big trout.
Please, so, sit down, everyone, please.
I like to ask at this stage, you know, where's your digs?
Where because am I living?
I imagine you're probably up in the castle.
Am yep.
I, with Ian McKellen?
Yeah. Yeah, well, look, I'm not allowed to talk about that. But, no, where am I? I'm living kind of like, well, as we know, this year there's been a big old, you know, we've got Appgate and we've got a Comgate. Where am I living? Like, I don't even know, we were just talking about this, but I keep forgetting what area I live in.
You know, Ruby.
Oh, I want to say
like Haymarket, kind of.
Yeah, it's near the strip clubs, right?
Yeah. I'm living. Look, I'm part timing. I got a lot of day shifts. Can you imagine anything worse than me trying to strip? Why do you ask?
Well, because it's a, like you said, because of all the, you know, controversy around accommodation. I like to get a little idea of the coziness. What, if you've got a nice little cozy vibe, or
yeah, it's cozy, but it's nice. It's like, you know, we paid a bunch of so much more money than we should have for it, but sure. I'm not living in student accommodation. I'm very glad to not be living in student accommodation. It is
yeah, don't go there.
Yeah. Yeah, my door doesn't have a key card reader on it that beeps, and no. I don't have like an ensuite. It's just a toilet and a hole.
I set the alarm off every time I walk out of Tesco. Just put it that way. I've got so many fobs hanging off me. I don't know whether I'm coming or going. Have you got a nice gaff, though?
Yeah, it's
I bet
all right.
It's a bit classy.
You keep thinking of new and fun ways, very English ways to say house.
Oh, yeah, well, I've just got them all in here.
Digs,
like a little
gaff.
I'm a little vocabulary dispenser. I could think of loads. Gaff, digs, scrubs.
I need four more. Give me four more.
Oh, God.
Sorry, I don't.
No, I'm going to do it now. You set me a challenge. Den?
Yeah?
Nice.
For maybe a fox?
Yeah. Cubby?
Oh. Ooh. Two more.
Ends?
Ends?
It's very urban. And then I've got one more, right? Mm. Come on, Milky, deliver. Home.
I'd give that a round of applause.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Why not? And you were here last night, weren't you, for the karaoke?
Did you
do a little number?
I didn't, so Believe by Cher got taken pretty early on, and that's kind of my go-to. So.
It was a bit like the Who's Who of comedy in here last night, basically just taking it in turns to do karaoke. And imagine if you were a poor little, you know, runner on the fringe, just sitting there looking, I ain't never going to get a chance. Because who walks up next? And Patty Harrison walks up, and then it's Olga Koch walks up, and then it's Kiri Pritchard-McLean walks up, and then you're just like, okay, all right, what is this? The Royal Variety.
And they're all surprisingly good at singing, aren't they?
It's disgusting.
It's outrageous, because I'm in a musical comedy double act, and I'm tone deaf, and I'm just looking at all these comedians who can sing beautifully but don't need to be funny. And you're just like, what the hell? Fair.
You ain't tone deaf, though, I've heard you sing.
No, I am.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I am. I just pretend and Ruby sings.
Yep.
Oh, well, we'll try that later. What's your background then? Where did you meet and what's the vibe?
So we both grew up in Tulse Hill in South London, and our houses are across the street from each other. We can see each other's houses from our windows. And I think our parents were friends.
Yeah, so our mums knew each other, and Ruby's the year below me. And so my mum...
Got it.
Yeah, sorry, still boasting. Ruby's a year below me, so my mum asked me to walk Ruby to school on her first day.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah, except Ruby actually had loads of friends that she was walking to school with. So I kind of just showed up outside her house and was like, oh. And Ruby didn't know I was going to be walking. So she just walked straight past me with all these other friends, and I just walked behind them.
Like a tiny bodyguard.
Yeah, just walked. And then I waited after school to walk her back and did the same thing. And that was, and then eventually we started chatting, and then we became friends.
What a thoroughly depressing story.
Yeah.
And is that the tragedy, and you've added time to that?
Yeah, and now we're comedy. Funny. Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
How did you end up in comedy then? What made you go
so
in that
I
direction?
So I did comedy at uni, and then Ruby came to visit in Edinburgh. Saw the sketch troupe, thought they were shit, but I was quite funny, and was like, oh, do you want to just do it as a double act instead? And we saw like the pin at the time. Oh, we were yeah. like, oh, that's really cool. Maybe we should try that. They're mates. They're funny.
Yeah.
Give it a go.
Yeah. And then when I mean, as Rachel might have told you, I'm in the year below her. So once we both graduated, we just started insanely doing sketch comedy at like open mic nights. And then just, yeah, kept at it from there.
I wonder what happened to pin. I mean, they were good, but you must know this. You see so many people, don't you? And they kind of, when you do the Fringe for a long time, they just disappear.
Yeah.
You think, oh, he's, you know, he's gone back to banking, or they've gone back to, I don't know.
Or they work in arts admin now.
Yeah. I think they were in a feature film, though, The Pin. Oh. I think The Pin are doing really well.
Are they?
The Pin are doing really, really very well. Yeah, they're on West End. Like,
sorry, can we get you a seat up on the stage? Babe? Nothing like an opinionated audience member, is there? We'll taser them on the way out. But you know what I mean there? I'm not necessarily saying pin particularly. I'm just saying all these acts.
Yeah, it doesn't apply with the pin. The pin are very successful.
They've done well. Okay, sure. Well, excluding them, you do get a lot of people on the way, you know. And it's sad because a lot of people can't afford to do it. Well, they can't stay in the arts for long, can they? Because they get, you know.
Well, we're all just... Do you know what? The worst thing I reckon I've ever done in my life... This isn't true. I mean, this is true that I did this, but it's not the worst thing I've ever done. I used to do the thing when I would be feeling down, like almost a decade ago, my first Fringe was... I would search on the Fringe website the word cancelled and just scroll through the graveyard of people that had to cancel their things.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Terrible. It's real. I know that's really bad.
And that made you feel better.
Well, it often backfired because sometimes it would be someone who cancelled their run because they got a big movie or something like that. But most of the time, because this is such an open Fringe, God, I sound like such an awful person now. Because this is such an open festival, it often would be someone who, like, you know, there's those venues that are like 3 miles out of town, and it'll be just like, Margaret's giving it a go because she got divorced and is trying to give comedy a go for the first time. And her stepkids must have like talked her out of it on the second last day. Anyways.
Well, there is always a woman. There's always a woman or, you know, like an older man stood outside Tesco with a flyer just kind of staring at their Scotch egg.
Yeah,
and they've just lost all will to live.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's sad.
That makes me so sad.
A lot of Brian's out there. A lot of Brian's just giving it a whack.
That'll be me next year.
Yeah. She can't take this. That's what the show's called.
Just with my meal deal. My chicken Caesar wrap. Oh. Anyone want to come to see me show? I had a nightclub last year. Now I'm doing it in a church reception. In Leith. I'm in a church reception in Leith. Come and have a pew. There's only two, but... Jesus, God, well, I've got a collection at the end. Just put in food. I don't care about money. Just put food in. Is it supportive in Australia, like the comedy scene? Is it... Because it's a bit... It's quite hard here, isn't it, I think, comedy.
Yeah.
It's not supported particularly by, you know, the arts. Unless you do an arts council funding thing and then you have to... That's hell for dyslexics. You know, they're never going to get any arts funding.
We no, like I mean, not on a governmental level. No, comedy is. I co-own a comedy club in Melbourne, and during at the beginning of the pandemic, we like, you know, went to some of the funding bodies to be like, "Hi, this isn't great. Can we maybe apply for some grants?" And the woman literally said on the phone, "Look, comedy isn't really a thing that we fund. We're more about..." And she said, "Could you make it seem like cabaret?"
Oh, what, to get
like,
the money?
Yeah, to get the money. It was like, we're more into cabaret, which... Really?
Why is that better funded? That's, yeah.
Yeah.
That's,
well, I don't know. Who else is funding cabaret? No, anyway,
I don't throw money at the guys. They'll make it work. Do you know what I mean?
Pink pound.
There's always an excuse. They're a minority.
But we literally put in out that we're a comedy theatre, not a comedy club, so we just see more. But, you know, it's good that Opera Australia is getting millions of dollars. Anyway, this just seems like the wrong avenue to purge this into.
No, get the bitterness out. I like it.
But yeah, no, I mean, look, but as an industry, we're very... But I feel like industry level, we're supportive, and so is the UK, right? I feel like everyone, like the Fringe, we're all getting through this together. I mean, we'd kill each other for a spot on something, but you know what I mean? Like, on a most level, like...
I guess so, but I mean, you have all the festivals out there, don't you? Like the Melbourne
International Comedy Festival and Sydney Comedy Festival.
And are they like this? Are they as kind of competitive, as an expensive?
Yeah. They're not as big... The thing about my country is we are the size of America, right? The size of America, but we have 20 million people living in the whole place. But, like, we don't... we just don't have the population for it. I think I gave you a boring answer. I'm sorry.
No, I think that's a valid answer. I mean, you know, it's just... Here, I think, like you said, there's been so much heat on the Fringe that, you know, I think a lot of people are getting quite eggy with it. But the Adelaide Fringe doesn't seem to have that much of a...
No, we do have
a negative representation amongst artists. Anyway, people I've heard have all been quite positive about it.
We have tall poppy syndrome, we call it. Have you heard about that? Where if someone it's like when poppies grow taller than the rest, you cut them down. So as soon as someone becomes successful in another country, we will tell them to die. Like we will Rebel Wilson, main example of like someone gets successful and we're like, well, she lied about her age. Like we just find something weird about her. And, we'll do it with anyone. And then as soon as someone tries to come back, we're very, well, look who came crawling back to do local theatre and support the arts.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah.
Well, look at Guy Pearce, though. He was welcomed back with open arms in old...
Ramsey Street.
Ramsey.
And Kylie Minogue, who apparently doesn't talk anymore. Did you see that? She doesn't say a single word when she came back to Ramsey Street.
Do you know what? I do know this on the QT. She just had some quite severe surgery.
Oh.
And she couldn't. It was cosmetic.
Yeah.
And she couldn't open her mouth. Just like Leslie Ash. Do you remember that happened to her? No? Okay, that's niche. She basically had so much, like, lip filler.
Yeah.
That she looked like a purse. You know, like a kiddie's purse that you have to squeeze to open. Yeah. Like a baby bell. Looks like she, you know, was permanently kissing a baby bell. It weren't pretty.
I saw the most amazing show at the Fringe a few years ago that was like an evening with Jason Donovan.
Oh.
And it was just... I mean, it was exactly what you expected it to be. He basically just held up, like, the Technicolor Dreamcoat and just went, and that's what I wore, and then there was questions from the audience.
Like a theatrical version of, like, what's that restaurant called?
Deschum.
No. Actually, the complete opposite to that. Hard Rock Cafe.
Oh, yeah. You know,
I bet they own a Jason. No, they probably don't.
I bet he works
They definitely don't. But he's, I mean, he looks terrified now, Jason Donovan, like he's... being chased by a ghost or something, doesn't he? No, he did for a brief period, but now I think he's gotten better. So all the memories he's chased by, you know, because he had a couple of rough years. God, I know it. I saw him down the flick. Blimey, O'Reilly. We had to stop the all-you-can-eat buffet because of him. I'll tell you what. There's only so much chicken in a basket a man can eat. Ruby. Now, you... I've got a little bit of an American... Is that an American accent?
It is a little bit of an American accent, yeah.
What's the story there?
Well, it shouldn't have happened. So I grew up in, like, Brixton in South London. When I was a kid, that was the accent that I had. But my mom is from America and her family all live in California. We used to go back and forth and visit them. And I just sort of slowly developed this. And now it's kind of gone too far and I can't get rid of it. So
my dad's American. Look at that. Oh. You got the passport? Yeah, you got the passport.
I got the passport,
isn't that
yeah.
useless these days?
Not for tax reasons, but yeah, no, otherwise, yeah.
Yeah, same.
Blimey, all right. You start your own podcast about, you know...
Tax evasion.
Tax evasion.
Yeah. I'd listen.
We'll have the FBI on us. No, they wouldn't bother me. Not again.
Yeah, you're doing a run of shows at Mar-a-Lago, right?
Oh, yeah. Me and Donald are like that. He actually came to the flick. He did. I saw him swallow a watermelon whole. It's like an adder.
Just
he just put it in. Yeah. The whole thing just disappeared. And he did a little watermelon burp at the end. It was actually quite refreshing. Then he left, didn't say a word, dead behind the eyes. I'll never forget that night. It was a good night. Now, your shows, I mean, so Reese.
Yeah.
You have to forgive me because I misgendered you earlier.
Oh, that's it.
But actually, when I saw you all those times ago, I imagine you probably, I don't know how you identified then, but you've had a bit of a journey, haven't you, with your self-identity recently. And it's something, is it something you talk about in your show?
Yeah, my show, it's not about it, but yeah, imagine if then I was like, I don't know what you're talking about, and stormed out. I told you that in confidence. I keep forgetting that, like, so my show is about, yeah, I came out as non-binary last year, but I keep forgetting that I haven't told. Yeah, sure. I keep forgetting that I haven't told heaps, like, everyone in my life about, because it was just, I figured, like, I'll just do a show about it and that'll spread. And genuinely, there have been friends come to my shows. Because it's one of those things where it was always on the cards and it hasn't changed my life in, like, a deep, deep... It's nice to be able to talk about it and stuff, but it was just, you know, it was just something... And even pronouns-wise, I prefer they, but, it's new enough that I was talking to someone who also came out as non-binary recently and we realised how we both have just... will occasionally misgender ourselves. Like, it's like we have Pavlov's dog to he. But no, it is nice. I don't know. And it feels like it's getting more of a thing, right? Like, not more of a thing, but more and more people are kind of coming out as gender fluid, I think, because it feels... Anybody these days that is so determined to be like, no, I'm a man. Imagine being like, I am a man. It's like, have you heard what they've been up to? I'd be distancing myself from that group as quickly as possible.
Yeah. But it's weird, isn't it, that you feel like you have to give an excuse.
Yeah.
Like, why do you need to give an excuse as to why you want to explain? Like, you know, it's like my manager, Hazel, she was married, right? But now...
Good on her.
She's not. She's divorced. But if someone calls her Miss, she'll kick off. And the minute someone says anything about non-binary, she's like, oh, God. And I'm like, sorry, Hazel. Hypocrite much. it's so weird that the people that care most about it, you know, are the hyacinth bouquet bucket people.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
It's those kind of people, in it. They're so concerned about the way everyone else perceives them, yet they can't give someone else the freedom and something that makes them feel comfortable with.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And it's like, that. Someone explained to me recently, because I also even think they isn't quite the, like... That's why people do get kind of weird and clumsy about it. But then someone's telling me that, like, they is actually in, like, ancient, like, with a singular pronoun, like, even before he and she was. So it's like, I don't know, shut the fuck up about it.
But it is something, you talk about it a bit in your shows, don't you, about kind of the idea of gender or, you know, the...
Yeah, certainly about, like, growing up and, like, how you sort of are taught to perceive gender and whether you do engage. Like, so for me, because both my parents are queer and my mum is, like, a very mask-presenting woman, I guess for me, my idea of gender has always been quite, like, queer anyway. Mm. So then it's like, I've never had to sort of change. I've always looked like this. And always kind of like been allowed to express that. And that like does really affect kind of then coming into it. You're like, well, I can just do what I like. And that's really nice. So, yeah.
Yeah. And I think I had kind of the opposite sort of experience with like, you know, a perfectly supportive but very like conventional kind of family where, you know, like if you were, I was quite a masculine kid and they were like, oh, well, that will stop at some point. we'll all just hang in there. Yeah.
It's weird because even me, like sometimes people say I look a little bit like a man, which is rude because they're being nasty. But if I'm out and about, for example, and it's the little microaggressions that people give you in it, and it's almost like someone will say to me, all right, mate, you know, if I'm out looking gorgeous, as I do.
As you always do.
Yeah.
As I always do, as, you know, as do you lot too. But they'll say, all right, mate, and you're like, why are you saying that? That's a bit rude.
Yeah.
It's like you don't need to... comment.
Yeah.
You know.
I get that with my concierge at my flat. When I come down, he alternates between calling me mate or calling me babe. What?
I think we're just shocked you've got a concierge.
Concierge, yeah.
No, it's like a
elevator.
You actually have a lot of concierge is quite a standard thing in like high-rise flats in London.
Is it?
Yeah,
I'm not
it
sure
is.
If it is,
I
babe.
Swear it is.
You'll be telling us you've got a mezzanine next.
I swear. it's just like a big...
Are you living in like a secure ward and this is a polite way to say it? Like, you know, it's a hospital. Person at the front that logs my name and says,
is it a hospital?
Right.
Rachel, if it's a hospital, you've got our support.
No, it's just a high-rise block of flat. Quite, it's very standard. Lots of people in East London. Please.
Dig up.
Lots of people. Anyway, my concierge is a totally normal thing to have in London.
Tumbleweed? No, it is. It is. No, it is very common. I mean, I see them everywhere, concierge. Everywhere you look, there's a concierge.
Can't move for them,
I would
them,
not
yeah.
describe it as common.
I think it is. Anyway, the concierge... It alternates between calling me mate or babe coming down. I find it so interesting about it depends on, like, I realised he started calling me babe, and then I had a one-night stand and brought a girl down, and then he suddenly started calling me mate. And it was like, what is your lines for where babe stops and mate begins? Yeah. And if it's just, like, a one-night stand, what is that? What is that about?
I've noticed an interesting... Well, I think it's quite interesting in that, like, yeah, so this club that I work at quite... Comedy Republic, this club that I co-own, we, like, when I was started as a queer performer, you always had to make, like, a little joke when you would come on stage. You always had to be like, you know, I used to say that I, like many men, end of sentence. And it's, like, not a perfect, but it was just, and just so, it's, like, this weird thing you had to say to the audience, like, hey, just so you know, and don't panic about it. But these days, like, little baby queer comics, like, 20-year-olds coming on stage, are just, there's no jokes about it. Like, they just kind of start, yeah. And the audience is like, I'm fine. Like, I don't know. I have no, like, jokey end to this. I just think it's a nice thing that it's, like, it's, like, the next generation will just have no qualms with it, I reckon.
Yeah.
And it's only the old one, you know. I say old ones. I don't want to, you know, shoot down a boomer.
Yeah.
But...
Oh, no, please. And if you won't...
Give me an Nerf gun, I'll do it.
Look,
there's... Just knock them off stead. So they just fall into the curb, kind of, you know.
And look, there's another... I've read a report this morning about another influencer coming, so if we don't knock them down, it will.
I thought there's already two on the go at the minute, isn't mm-hmm. there? What's the new one?
It comes from rats, I think, or some sort of, God. Again, coming out of... yeah, fun times. So everyone
welcome
enjoy
to the fringe. Could you
but
imagine
at least
that?
Gender doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah. It's just pandemics now.
Yeah.
Now... Of course, you can't ignore the Goliath of a show that you're now in on in Australia. I mean, that's huge, isn't it? What was it like joining the drag race universe?
It was, it's very fun. It's like a weird... I've had to remove any reference of it from my show because as soon as you mention it, you can really find... Like, I don't know. I don't know if anyone knows this, but drag race fans... I don't know, particular.
Oh, yeah.
Toxic, I would describe them as.
Oh, yeah.
And it's such an interesting thing that... So I was creating the show that I'm touring at the moment in Adelaide Fringe in Australia, and I was doing the show... Like, it was literally... The show was called These Are My New Jokes, No Refunds, and it was me on stage with notes, and it was very cheap tickets. And I had just been on Drag Race, so all the Drag Race people started to come, and something you learn quite quickly is Drag Race people generally don't know how to be at a show. So they would, like, sit up the front, get very drunk, and it's like, because they didn't know that I do stand-up, they just only know me as a judge on Drag Race, so they would just, like, heckle in such a... or just a lot of yes-queening from heterosexual white women.
God.
What a dream.
You've opened up a cauldron.
So anytime I would kind of say, like, there's a story in my show about something that happened to me when I was in New Zealand filming the show, but it's not about the show. And as soon as I would say, I was there for Drag Race, people would just be like, yeah, like, when's season two? And so I had to stop doing that. But I realize it's on the BBC here.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas in Australia, it's on a streaming service. I was talking to Karen from Finance, one of the queens from the show, and we realized we think we might be a little bit more famous here than we are in Australia because of it. It's very strange.
So what version is the channel that it's on in? Maybe like a... So you have to pay for it?
Yeah, you have
like
to pay
Netflix
for it.
Or something, yeah.
It's not...
Oh, it's on BBC, but that's why you get a rubbish prize.
Yeah.
You know, you get like a file of fax.
I mean... It's the Australian...
With Drag Race on it. There you go. Cost you 50 grand. Here's a file of facts. Oh, and you're getting a YouTube video. Congrats.
You get to go watch an episode of Graham Norton be filmed.
So you can see, you must have felt a huge shift in your career then since it's changed.
And it is weird, like, The strangest part for me, one, I had to learn how to be a judge, which I call myself the Paula Abdul of the group, because I don't say anything that, like, Michelle and Rue's job is to be critical. I'm always just like, I'm just happy to be here. Like, seeing queens do, like, their best work is incredible. But the weirdest part is just realize, like, for hours at a time sitting next to RuPaul and just real, like, what, when you realize you're, like, teasing RuPaul about something, like, that's a very strange. It's not good for your brain to have that happen.
I mean, he's green-screened in. Anyway.
Yeah, he's not there.
Just a hologram.
That was a recent thing, wasn't it?
There is this incredible rumor that Ru isn't there. And it's so weird because, again, the toxic... Anyways, it's such a... Because people also complain in our season about the production values that, like, you know, we don't spend enough money on the show. Do you think we wouldn't spend enough money on the show and then have the technology to green screen in RuPaul? Like, it doesn't make... You can't have it... Again, 14-year-old girls, great producers. Like, I love... Because when I was a fan of the TV show, of the franchise before I was on it, I'm in with my, like, fake, like, Facebook name. I'm in some groups. I need to remove myself from them. But just it's just overhang. And so every time... It's just so hard not to be like... Shut the fuck up! Like, because it annoys me. I feel like I'm getting real about this now. Because it undermines, like, the queens got to meet RuPaul and RuPaul traveled to see them and stuff. And by saying he wasn't there, it's, like, mean to the queens, I feel.
Yeah,
like.
I think it undermines the generosity of the show in a way, doesn't it?
Yeah, it kind of makes, like, well, he didn't even bother to come. So it is like, no, he was there. He sat in a shitty hotel for 2 weeks in quarantine so he could do it.
It must be weird, though, sat in between those two, just being like, oh, my God.
Well, they, like, the weirdest is, like, they're very, Ru's very, very, very funny. Very funny. And, but he's also obsessed with discount chemists. And, okay.
Wait, what?
Okay, cool.
Again?
We would mainly talk in New Zealand on the show, off camera, about the different discount chemists that we like to go to and spend our per diems on during the day. He collects the way he was there. He loves to collect.
What'd you buy in a disc apart from Lulu, my perfume?
Yeah. Well, this is what he collects, like, shitty perfumes. Like, he goes and buys, like, Gina Liano has a perfume. She's like a Real Housewife of Melbourne. And he'll buy four of them and then, like, spray them and just be like, Jesus Christ, that's awful. And puts it in his collection.
Wow.
Well, a true eccentric.
If you've got enough space, I imagine, you know, they probably look quite nice, all those. You know.
I like to imagine in his home, there's like a secret, like a door that you open, and it's just like, you know, the end of Indiana Jones, where it's just rows and rows and rows and rows, like forklifts just of shitty perfume.
Yeah. Nicole Richie.
Yeah.
Britney Spears.
And they all work there.
Well, or there's like just a piece of their DNA next to it in case there's ever, you know, like that big vault in Norway.
Yeah.
Just a bit of their DNA so that if there's ever annihilation, they can recreate Britney. Yeah. And her smell.
Spray the perfume, yeah.
And her smell.
He's just very funny. You know, he's like obsessed with, you know, Auntie Donna, the sketch group? Do you know who I'm talking about?
No, never mind.
No. They're like an Australian sketch group. They have a show on Netflix and he like loves Auntie Donna. Anyways, he's just a funny guy. That's all.
Oh, look, he seems gorgeous. Yeah. I mean, he came down the flick once or twice. You know, but that was back in the day, you know. If only he knew then, you know, what he went on to become, he wouldn't have asked to borrow that money, which I never got back. But did you two...
What did he swallow whole?
Oh, you don't even want to know. But let's put it this way. It came back up again quite quick.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Well, that seems like a perfect break to move on to a little section of the show we call Dear Diane. Okay? Now, this is where gorgeous guests write in, or my gorgeous internet fans write in, and they ask us a question. Okay? So I'm going to pick one at random.
Ooh.
Ooh.
There was just a lighting change for anyone listening at home.
Oh, yeah. Dear Diane, how are you and Ron? Oh, planning to tighten your belts during the cost of living crisis. Oh. You probably don't get the cost of living crisis in Australia, do you? You'll have quite nice high standards of living out there.
Well, we're very worried about our concierges. But,
Oh, you've sent shelf down. Do you believe it?
Outrage. Everyone has, lots of people have concierges. It doesn't mean I...
Yeah, of course. I mean, I don't.
You're wearing a suit
yeah.
right now. This is outrageous.
Yeah, I'm wearing a suit because I grew up very poor and I'm trying to hide that. It's called overcorrecting. The way cost of living, we're all going to end up as concierges, maybe.
We'll all be working for you, Rachel.
I don't own the flat.
Me.
I don't own the tower.
Me. I thought you were going to say you don't own the concierge. Like, good. You're not meant to own another human anymore.
It'll be me, Reese, RuPaul, Ruby. Good morning, m'lady.
Yeah. Right, babe. I'm like, fuck's sake.
Would you like your shoes shine, m'lady?
Just going to the discount pharmacy.
My lord, what can we, anything we can get you? No, I'm sure you probably live in absolute poverty.
Yeah, yes,
the truth is,
you.
You're a comedian thank after you. All. You are a comedian after all. But it's tricky, isn't it, this cost of living crisis? I mean, to be honest, I haven't thought about this, but I don't know, I've got quite drafty windows as well. So, probably brick them up. Start eating wood. Drink from the sea. I don't know. Yeah. I haven't thought about it. I mean, I've got more money than sense. Look at this gorgeous club I've built in a car park. God, that was a question, but I don't know. Feels like a question for the 1 o'clock show. Do you know what I mean? Like Robert Kilroy Silk or something. All right. What's this one? These are all quite serious, but we'll keep cracking. Dear Diane,
what are your fears?
Any advice? Yeah. Dear Diane, what's the worst? No. Any advice for meeting like-minded queer people? Oh, this is nice for everyone here. It's a bit queer on the stage. Where do you go? What's your go-to places? You live in London, don't you, two? Where do you go out? Where's your little cool hangout places that you go to? Your nights out, your restaurants, your bars, your clubs?
I like the RVT in Vauxhall.
Yeah. Oh, I've done a couple of gigs there, may I add. Beautiful little crowd
nice.
There.
Really nice. Yeah, there's a night there called Butch Please.
Yeah, very good.
Great night.
That lesbian night, is it?
Yeah.
And it sells out.
From the title. That's, yeah. No, that's good branding. Cool.
Yeah, it sells out in seconds because the lesbians are organised. Yeah. but if you can get in, totally worth it.
Yeah. What if you turn up dressed as a butcher? Could you also get in?
Yeah, they have a special thing specifically for that. It's never happened before, but you get pride of place if you do it.
What, an alarm goes off?
You win the meat tray.
Shot into space.
What's the... I really like the... it's like a gay pub in London. This is so vague that I'm being so vague.
The Glory?
The Glory.
Yeah, yes. Well, that's one of my favourite hangouts. Yeah. Johnny Woo, John Sizzle, my beautiful friends are in that. It's gorgeous.
That's like my vibe, that kind of, like, because I remember as a teenager and early 20s being like, doof, doof, straight away, like, I've always looked like this. Like, and I used to, like, go to, like, dance clubs, like, in a suit and just stand up the back and wait for the drag queens to come on. But then realising, you know, you get a little bit older and you're like, oh, I can go to quiet, like, anywhere queer and quiet. Like, I just open a bar called Queer and Quiet.
That's nice, though. But that's a bit of a demographic that's not met, isn't it? Like, because you've either got, I mean, let's use Edinburgh, for example. You've got Paradise Palms, if you've been there, that's a gorgeous queer night bar.
Yeah.
And then you've got CC Blues, which is, like, old school.
The gayest name in history, surely.
Where they only sell WKD.
Yeah.
Do you know what that's named after?
No, I actually don't know.
It's Bette Midler's character in Beaches.
Oh, that is.
That's her name.
Yeah.
CC Blues.
CC Blues. That's great.
I'm doing a little show on the South Bank tomorrow.
Oh.
I think I can do this as an exclusive because... Will this show have gone out by the time I'm on stage? It probably will be. But me and my friend Monica Dolan, we're going to do Beaches. the song Wing Beneath My Wings. Do you know Monica Dolan? That's, she's a gorgeous actress.
She I was know in, that name.
She was in... she's got a BAFTA. What was she in recently? That canoe thing on ITV. Did you see that? Anyway.
Doesn't
what,
ring the, a bell.
The, I'm just showing off. I'm name dropping. Forgive me. And then got Sophie Ellis-Bextor. She's coming on doing a few
what?
Songs.
What
yeah,
the
on the
fuck?
Fuck? Outside
seriously?
The National Theatre. Yeah, tomorrow. It's
oh
milking.
My God.
I've got to get the train in the bleeding morning.
I've got to cancel my shows.
Yeah,
that's
come.
Great.
Get
can
the train with us. Then we've got to get fly back at 4 o'clock in the morning. To get back here to do our chat show tomorrow at 5.
Sophie Ellis-Bextor. I yeah. loved her during the. I loved her during. She really flourished during the pandemic.
Oh, she did. Yeah.
She was putting on like these online shows of just her and her kids having dance parties.
I know.
It was the greatest.
I've been to her house because we did her 40th birthday, Milky and I. Oh yeah, me and her like
that. What was that
now?
From 5 years from now?
No,
I'm trying to compliment Sophie Ellis-Bextor from a podcast.
I'll put a good word in for you tomorrow.
Yeah.
But oh my God, it, what a spread they put on Milky. I stole about 15 dresses. Sorry, Sophie, if you're listening, but it's too late. You'd have done the show by then.
Is she tiny?
Oh no, she's lovely.
She's huge.
No, she's tall and elegant.
Oh really?
She's very
I
tall.
I always had in my mind
elegant.
Tiny as well. No.
She's like a kind. Very tall, yeah, like a very elegant.
More of a Danny.
Oh, she's... What a presence.
Really?
And you should hear the set list she's doing.
Oh, stop
for tomorrow.
It.
She's only doing 3 songs, but they're called
Murder on the Dance
I'm
Floor
really
three
sure.
times.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
She's, no
yeah.
she's doing... I'll do it.
I wouldn't even mind.
I might as well just say
mind.
It. Who cares? She's doing Spiller, Groove Jet. Then she's doing
sick.
A new single. Then she's doing Murder on the Dance Floor. All this on Saturday. Anyway, I'm talking rubber. Yeah. Talk about myself when I'm on a chat show. You didn't do Parky do that, did you? Probably because his life is boring. Dear Diane, I've got one more left. And we've got to finish soon, haven't I? We've had such nice chats, the time's flown by. Oh, my God, what a life. Dear Diane, my wife wants to take me on a P&O cruise, but I will feel trapped. What should I do? You ever been on a cruise? I said this the other day about going on a cruise, but have you ever been on a cruise?
I have. I've done, like, I've performed on cruises.
Oh, I bet you'll hit on those cruise ships.
Yeah.
Especially looking in as gorgeous as you do.
I look like staff. The dream is, because I don't do like the long, I've only ever done like the short ones where you go out for like, Theatre Australia, they do these, they're called comedy cruises, and they just go into open water, do donuts, and come back 3 days later. But the dream is you want to perform on the last night, because if you perform on the first night, they just know you on the ship then, because everyone goes to the ship, and then you can't be anonymous.
Yeah.
I've said this on stage before, but I heard a thing once where a member of the crew got very drunk and told me a story about how, because I was saying, oh, like, is there a morgue? I asked her if there was a morgue on the ship, basically.
That's the spirit.
And she was like, and she said, yeah, well, and she was pissed when she said this, and she was like, worked in the kind of medical part. And she said, well, yeah, but it's like, and so a lot of people live out on the ships now, like, people don't look after old people anymore, so people just live on cruise ships for the rest of their lives because it's good food. And it's all right.
Sorry, I'm going to cry.
And so they live out there, and so sometimes if they're out there for like weeks at a time and a few people die, they have to... She said, if ever you see people selling giving out free ice cream on deck, it means that someone has died and they've had to put them in the freezer.
Oh my God.
I don't know if I should have told that story.
I love it. That is an exclusive and a half.
And then I also watched a man in a gong show. We do these shows where the people can come up on stage from the passengers and do like stand up for the first time. We can gong them off. And I watched a man try and propose to his girlfriend and she said no and then someone gonged him.
And then the next day, loads of ice cream. Oh, God, he couldn't get over it, bless him.
I told that story so badly. There's usually a lot more jokes than that old people are dead story. But anyway,
we enjoyed it. We're in hysterics.
How much my parents love a cruise. And now I'm like, oh, God, what if they die on a cruise?
Yeah.
I was going to say, Rachel, you must do a cruise every other week, too. What with you?
With the concierge.
I'm just off on the, sorry, concierge. I'm just off on another cruise. Doing the Disney one this weekend.
Keep a hold of my post if you can. Thanks.
And the concierge comes and like waves at you from the harbour with a hanky.
Yeah. Waters all my plants, all of that.
Yeah.
It's nice. I don't
know. Ruby, you been on a cruise?
Never. No.
Have you ever been on a cruise?
Never been on a cruise. Been on a ferry. That's microdosing a cruise.
Well, ferry will do. Where were you going on the ferry?
The New World.
Yeah, that's how I came over. I just have a very clear memory of being on a ferry at some
point. Was it Isle of Wight? That's a classic ferry.
Yeah, I have done that ferry with you.
Have we?
Yeah.
Huh? Ooh, you should have your own shows about travel. Do you remember I went on that ferry that time? Yeah, you did. Where was I going? I can't remember. Well, let's talk a bit more about it for another 20. Yeah, yeah. Shelf, do travel.
Yeah.
Like look out, Michael couple. Palin.
Sorry. Okay, well, do you know what? Time has flown by. I haven't even asked you about your shows and what your shows are about and what time they're on. Could we do that? Let's do that quick before we do a little song. So just tell us about your show, what they're about, because that would be gorgeous. And I've seen bits of your snow, so I know it's absolutely stunning and it's getting all the good reviews, is it not?
It's going very well. We're very happy with it. Yeah, so we're on at 7:15. The show's called Hair. It's basically about Ruby cutting her hair and getting treated very differently. And kind of about gender expression and how we've had a very different experience of that.
Yeah, and I guess, we've kind of grown up together, so it's kind of about those completely different ways of experiencing gender. And then there's lots of songs.
Beautiful.
And from Rachel, lots of dancing.
And you are quite a mover.
Thank you.
I have to say that.
Thank you. Everyone talks about Ruby playing guitar, singing.
You don't get enough credit.
What about me? Am I gyrating hips?
Yeah, and you can't see it if you're listening to this, but she's doing it right now. It's amazing. Yeah.
She's been doing it the entire time.
Yeah.
It's been very distracting.
It's weird we haven't commented on it until now.
That's who you are. Just moving so quick, you levitate. Yeah. People can't even tell, like a hummingbird. Reese, okay, beautiful babe, what about yours?
I mean, same. no, I'm 8:25, I'm in Underbelly, in the, Frisian, no, not Frisian, Ermentrude. They're all cow names, just find it. The show's called Reese, 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 and I wanted to name it after the Judy Garland Live at Carnegie Hall album that's just called Judy, 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 because I hadn't written my show yet. And it's kind of just, I don't know, it's a stand-up show. It's fun. It's like, it won best show at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. Ooh. And...
Clang.
And Sydney, Clang, sorry, I'll just pick up these pile of awards I brought. It's weird no one's brought up the fact that I've been holding awards this whole time. But yeah, I don't know, come on by. I'm having a really nice time. We were talking before the record about how we're having a nice enough time at the Fringe that I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop. Like, it shouldn't be going this well. So come on by and watch me cry.
We will be
there the night it falls.
the reason.
Yeah, be the reason. Commit.
Yes, Queen. Yes, Queen. RuPaul's a green screen. He's Yoda.
The moment someone clicks in the air at my show, they are removed by security.
Yeah, quite instantly. Well, their seat just drops through and they fall into the... if it's a cow, it'll be into the udder. Okay, beautiful. Now, we finish up the show. We've had a gorgeous time. Oh, my God. Loved every second. Thank you so much for being guests. But the way we... Give me something, Milky. What you got for me? You're looking very sporty. Anyone listening at home, Milky's wearing a pair of Speedos and that's it.
And they've pulled up his crack as well.
Oh, yeah. We just make up a song.
Oh, no.
It's a gorgeous sunny day on the cruise. The sun's shining on my forehead. There's a little body swimming in the sea. No, in the swimming pool. It stopped moving. Someone jumps in to help them out. But it's too late. They're dead. So someone comes along and drives them out and puts them in the freezer. What's that person's name, they say? Oh, that's Mike. Oh, what's Mike do? Well, he's a concierge in London. He's a concierge in London. And he spends his time in love. This is rubbish. With Rachel. Anyone want to do a verse? Because I'm failing here dismally.
I am absolutely not doing a verse.
I can't sing. Ruby.
You can't do. You're a comedy. You're a comedy musical act. Go on,
yeah,
Ruby.
Go on,
you don't
Ruby.
Have to.
Right, there's no one here to see it.
I'll gyrate.
I don't think think I'm good enough at improv for this. That's why we script everything.
Yeah, neither am I, it seems.
That was pretty good.
That was all right, wasn't it, at first? Yeah, but then I lost my confidence.
What was the chorus?
The chorus was...
In London, I thought.
I think it's a well. A concierge in London. He lives his life. A concierge in London. He lead a good life. They say, but why did he die? Why? He was having a good time last night watching a comedian thrive. Who was it? What was their name? Oh, Reese, I think. I think the name was Reese. It was so good that no one could handle it. And everyone on the ship died, and then there was loads of free ice cream, like Vianetta, Cornettos, Soleros, and then the whole ship just got a rat influenza, and then they died, and then there was some Robin. Okay, thanks for joining us for Time with Julie. Oh, well, you can't get them all. You can't win them all.
You got most of them.
It's life.
It was great.
It's life. It's life. So sometimes they're rubbish, sometimes they're good. On this occasion, I'll give it 6 out of 10.
I'd give it 8 out of 10.
It read like a 9.
It read like a 9. Okay, well, that's all I asked for. Well, thank you for coming to the beautiful record of our podcast. It's a hot day out there. You have been so charitable with your time. We're very grateful.
Such a nice time.
Yeah, it's been lovely.
I don't want to do my show.
I don't either. But then again, I haven't since the day I arrived. So. What else has changed? All I want to do is watch ITV. The Masked Singer reruns. That's all I want. I'm going to do that one day. And do you know what I'm going to be? A big gatto. A big Black Forest gatto. Just pied right in the face. Anyway, shut up, Diane. Thank you to my beautiful guests, Reese Nicholson and Shelf. You've been wonderful. This is a Hat-Trick Codpass coming to you live from our beautiful club in Edinburgh, The Flick. Thank you, Chris Jones, my beautiful producer. Diggory, way over there. He's decided just to join us. He's not even bothering. Alex at the back there, J'adore. Thank you, everyone, for a lovely Codpass. And goodbye. Beautiful. And Milky. Thank you, Milky. I love you. You're the best. Oh, gorgeous.
Chatting with Julie is recorded at my beautiful club, The Flick, down in the Assembly Underground. Oh, gorgeous. A big thanks to the wonderful people down at Burke's Nest and my beautiful little music geek, Andy Goddard. Assistant producer is Diggory Waite. My beautiful little producer is Chris Jones. This is a Hat-Trick Codpast.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.